Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. This is a show where I have a conversation with some people in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. They're the owners of June, a restaurant in the Heights. Let me introduce y'all separately so people can hear your voices. Evelyn Garcia, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Henry Liu, this is your first time. Welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, you know, Evelyn, I talked to you right after your season of Top Chef had wrapped up, and this was kind of in the works. The restaurant was kind of in the works, but you weren't really talking about it yet. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess start at the beginning. Sort of tell me a little bit about kind of how you guys decided to pick this location on 20th Street that is now June.
Yeah, it felt like an eternity, honestly, for me and Henry. I feel like we like saw every vacant spot in Houston, which there were many. Our broker was amazing. She was always up for giving us walkthroughs because we would see so many places in a week. And I think overall, it was over 2 years till we actually found a place that we connected and that we could really see our vision taking place. And that was definitely, you know, this building on 420th. There was a lot of buildings we saw that we were like, oh, maybe we could see, but it was a lot of like, we would have to modify a lot of things for it to kind of fit what we had in mind. And once we found out this space was available, honestly, they're like, oh yeah, you want to meet with them? We're like, honestly, let's just start some paperwork. We already know the space. At the time, obviously, Central City Co-op was here for a bit and they used to carry our product. So we used to come here weekly. And it was really cool. I was just like, we honestly thought it was a space next to it, the little chunk.
Yeah, the barbershop.
Like 1,000 square feet. We're like, well, okay, that's a little too small. And then they reached out and they were like, no, actually it's the bigger space, you know? And it was really cool. I think it just happened from us looking and like hunting and searching, this space kind of like fell in our lap and it was like, okay. You know, and it had everything we were looking for. We wanted all the windows. We wanted all the natural lighting. We wanted a space that felt very airy and open. We've always wanted open kitchen. So it kind of filled a lot of, just checked a lot of marks. And we were in quickly. We're like, all right, well, now we got to negotiate. But it was really cool that, you know, a lot of the things we were looking for were in this space already.
Yeah. You know, Henry, since you haven't been on the show before, tell me about coming to Houston and working with Evelyn. I mean, what was it that sold the city for you? Because you grew up in New York, you hadn't lived in Texas before. Like what convinced you to come down here and do this project with her?
Oh my God, what convinced me? I think it was like years of me visiting Houston and her just telling me, I gotta move here. And I really didn't understand the food scene here at all. And it was finally so nice to see when I came down here a year after the pandemic and actually like lived here for 2 months. I was just like, man, like the food scene here is like booming. It's changing. It's like growing. It's more of a melting pot than I ever thought it was, you know, especially coming from New York. And that's what really sold it for me. I was like, this food scene is on the brink of being something so great. And we wanted to be a part of that change that's happening here.
You know, the other thing I think was interesting is you guys had been doing this kind of pop-up thing at the farmers markets. At the same time, you've been doing these like kind of more pop-up sort of a la carte, or not a la carte, rather prefix dinners. Tell me about how you kind of developed the menu for June, where, you know, what you were, you know, because obviously what you were doing on an electric stove, you know, or under a tent was not going to work in a restaurant, but maybe, you know, these kind of really focused prefix dinners maybe wasn't quite right either. So just tell me a little bit how you kind of developed this menu.
So me and Emily have known each other for like over 10 years now. And we like started working together way back when. And so like our palates are pretty in sync, which is really nice to have in a chef partner and everything. And so when we were doing the pop-ups, like you were saying, you know, we're under 10. And honestly, I've never in my life liked done a pop-up, worked in a tent, worked in that kind of condition. New York City was rough, in other senses, but like being this like nomadic chef that we were for a couple of years was like a whole other ball game. And so we created a menu that was still true to us and still like good and has all these kind of cool flavors and everything. But had to work, you know, outside, you know, had to work something like quickly that we could give to people, and but still have the quality that we wanted. The restaurant menu is just a much more refined version of everything that we are, you know. I was like, now we're in a control environment, you know, we have the space to experiment more and everything, you know. I was like, we don't have the weather coming down on us, you know, like, oh my God. So I remember like during one of my first urban harvest, and like this wind and rain just came out of nowhere and just took everything out, you know. And we're like, all right, I was like, where do we go from here, you know? I was like, and so it's like, so we're in this beautiful control environment now, you know, and now we get to experiment a lot more and dive into flavors a lot deeper, you know, and have a staff to really train and work with us, you know, in creating all these flavors. Before it was just two of us, just working out in a bunch of different commissary kitchens. We have shared spaces, space was limited and everything. I was like, but we made do with everything that we had, you know, and then we expanded, you know, we went from farmers market, as you said, and then we started doing a lot of tasting menus to really give people hints of like what we were trying to go after, before we actually opened up the restaurant.
Which was still something completely different.
Well, right. I mean, what did you kind of learn from doing those tasting dinners, and how did that kind of shape what ultimately became the menu at June?
I mean, I feel like at Tenfold, it was also a different kind of environment. Of course, we were in a coffee shop, which we were so grateful for Jacob because we were one of the first like tasting menus that were using his space in that way. And kind of just moving things around, he was very open to us just being like, okay, so I'm gonna have a grill outside, and I'm gonna have a sous vide inside, and we're gonna put up the table. And we're going to use this little coffee lab as our kitchen, in quotations. And then, you know, we're going to turn the space into what feels like a smaller, intimate restaurant. And although we were still kind of putting together dishes and ideas that we wanted, we at least had a little bit more control than we did out in a market or outside in a tent. And also, the guests, you know, they had a different expectation when they were coming into a place where they could actually sit down. You know, we had most of the time we had some sort of live music. We were able to work with our friends and do like cool florals, and you know, we could just cater the experience a lot more. And with that, we got to play with the flavors that we had in mind that could translate into June. But it was still kind of very different, you know. We tried to do like a family style dinner once, and it was just like a hot mess. Me and Henry were like, we're never gonna do that again. At Tenfold, just because we had such limited space, like we couldn't put up as many dishes as we wanted, it was a lot much easier to execute the same dish and then 20 times than different dishes, each 20 of each, you know? So it was just like very limited. So we did that once, and we're like, yeah, that's not gonna work. But the tasting menu did work in that space. Again, just kind of more just playing and refining the ideas and flavors and dishes that we had in mind. And again, I think for us, it was about being able to experience that, kind of show and, like Henry said, hint at what we had in mind. And also us still, you know, being able to hustle and make some money because this restaurant, you know, it's me and Henry. And it's just me and Henry. So it was just like, okay, well, we still need to pay some bills. We still got to pay ourselves something, you know, we got to survive essentially, but yet still be able to put something out to for the guests that hopefully would follow through to June, know that what we're working on, you know. And for us, it was always steps. Like, this wasn't our end game, you know. We were like, okay, we're gonna work on this to be able to open our first restaurant and then hopefully different concepts and everything. So everything was just phases, and we were willing to put in all the time and effort and then kind of cater to wherever we were from a tent outside to being inside Tenfold with no real kitchen.
Yeah, what's really nice about June was that it's very much a story of the last 2 years of building it, you know. So many people that we met at the markets and everything plays a huge part in the restaurant today, you know, from the farmers that we work with, the artists that we've met and everything. And then we took all that, you know, and applied it into beyond just the market. So then, like she was saying, we were doing a lot of these tasting menus and everything. And so that's how we got in contact with like the live music and more floralist, you know, and then all that played into the restaurant here. I was like, and we were taking that time to R&D, you know, like just to secretly R&D without anyone really realizing that we were R&D and using the tasting menu as a way to, I guess, like for people to try parts of the menu without realizing they're actually, you know, our like control group of people who's sampling stuff from the menu.
Yeah, so you know, you sort of opened the restaurant, what, in December of 22, right? Or January of 22.
February of
February of
22,
23, or
23, yeah.
yeah,
23, I'm like
23, yeah.
22. We've just turned one, guys.
Right.
Might
So
feel like it's two.
right. So talk to me about those early days, those like first couple of months. Like, when did you start to feel like it was catching on?
I think when it got real for us when we hired our staff. You know, it's like they all came on board. They didn't know who we were. They knew Evelyn. I was like, I'm someone from outside of town. And so it just got really real, really real, really fast. And that I was like, man, now we're like we have to take care of these people too. You know, it's not just us anymore. I was like, now we have a full team of when we started of 50 employees, which was like just mind blowing. I didn't realize, you know, we both wanted something really tiny. You know, I was like, we're like max 1500 square foot of space, you know, and now we have double the space, double the employees, what feels like double the responsibilities and everything. And we just have to, you know, keep on moving along. I was like, just keep it working every day and always changing and always fixing things. And always making it better for everyone, for our employees, and for the guest experience and everything.
Yeah. And I mean, as in like catching on, I feel like honestly, being completely honest, and Henry's, we say it all the time, you know, our first night or our first week, we literally had enough money for our first payroll.
Right.
We're like, this gotta work. This has to work. Just, you know, that's why our friends and family was pretty quick. We went right into, I think we did 3 nights of friends and family. We took a small
Yeah.
break to tweak what we need, you know, what we saw. And our friends and family was like, it was hot and heavy. Like, it was, we did over, I think, 100 each night. So we wanted to see what we were capable of, and what, you know, what were the issues that were going to arise if we were to make them any covers, and if we wanted to, you know, we could possibly make more guests in one night. So it was very hectic and crazy, and also it was great that we had the team that was willing to put in the work, because we were all kind of in the mindset like, we're all putting our effort and energy into it. No one was walking in here with the mindset of just like, this is just a job. Everybody's like, we're all in it together, you know. And it was very helpful, and obviously for us, it was a very good feeling, because we were like, man, we only know what was going out inside of us, you know. And just putting a brave face and going out and making sure that everybody's taken care of, that we're trying to fix any issue as quick as possible. You know, being chef and owners and being here every day, there's just so many little things, you know. So I think for us, it was just like, yeah, that first like month of just like chaos. And then just seeing, I think at first it was kind of like a hesitation, because there was something that was not expected from what we had put out before. And I think we definitely saw it, but for us, it was really just like, this is, you know, up till now, this is all we've envisioned, and it's coming together. We have the team, we are creating food that we're very proud of. And at the end of the day, that's what we want to stay true to, what we had envisioned, and to ourselves and our story. And I think we were doing that, and we still are.
Yeah, the We couldn't have found a better team, or maybe they found us. I was like, they just cared so much about everything that actually made our lives like so much easier. You know, I was like, they wanted to do well by us. We want to do well by them. I was like, and that's what made this whole thing so much more exciting, and where we finally realized, like, man, we have something like really good going on, you know. And we opened up, like you said, back in February 2023. And then like a couple of weeks later, then rodeo hits and like our numbers drop. And I was like, oh, we're gonna go out of business. I was like, I've just never experienced rodeo before and how it could impact a business at all and everything. But everyone assured me, like the whole team just assured, like, no, it's fine. It's just rodeo season. I was like, we'll bounce back.
Yeah, we all take 3 weeks off to stop going to restaurants to go to NRG to
Yep.
eat turkey legs and watch country music.
Oh
So
my God, it's I
wild.
had to explain that to him.
Yeah. I don't get it. I was like, we're gonna go out of business.
Well, and it's only like 65 or 70,000 people a night, so
Only.
it shouldn't be that big a deal in a city that's as big as Houston, but somehow every restaurant in town feels the pinch. Like, I guess because people, if they're not at the rodeo, they're saving their money to go to the rodeo, or I don't know. I accept that it's a reality. It's always confused me too. So, Henry, what's something that you learned in those first couple months that you didn't anticipate?
What did I learn? That Houston, I mean, I've only worked in New York City. I was like, New York City is my life, my experience, all the restaurants I worked with and everything. What I learned really quickly is about how you really have to have your neighborhood, you know, accept you and take you in, and really just vouch for you. I've also learned that like Houston people just don't eat late. I was like, you're just not a late night eater, you know. I was like, and so like, there's so many different trends that I was so used to in New York, and I had to learn really quickly about these different trends that are happening here in Houston, that I just had to get used to and readjust our business into doing and everything, you know. So like pivoting our hours, changing when, you know, we open. Dinner only service, and all that just makes sense for our spot and everything.
Yeah, and down to like location, we are right smack in the middle of a neighborhood. Like we have, our neighbors to the right and to the left of us. So really, not only obviously catering to the guests that are coming out of town, because we know there's a lot of people that come out of town and come and visit us, but really catering to our neighborhood, and kind of what they're looking for. We're definitely it's really nice to have all our regulars come in very often. And it's definitely kind of becoming the space for us, or what we see with our guests. It's like, oh, I have this friend in town. We have to bring him to June, kind of spot, which is really great. But really focusing and putting attention to all those small things. And like Henry said, although I was here longer, I've never worked in a restaurant in Houston. I've only done my events and catering and stuff like that. My whole background's also in New York. And New York, there was like, we're open till 3 in the morning. Let's go. And it wasn't like a vibe restaurant. It was just a normal restaurant. So it was, yeah, there was just a lot of things we had to learn quickly. And the great thing is we are chef owners, so we could make those pivots and changes quickly. And whatever made sense, we go about changing pretty fast.
Well, I will say I do think there is something to be said for that. When friends come in from out of town, they want to go to June, because my last meal at June was with a friend of mine from Austin who was like, okay, I'm coming into town. I've only got a couple of days. I want to go to Street to Kitchen and I want to go to June. I'm like,
Oh,
okay,
nice.
there you go. Like that's pretty good company to be in, I think.
Yeah, for
Oh,
sure.
absolutely.
What are some of the things that you did to make yourself more appealing to the neighborhood? What are some of the things you've done to cultivate those regulars?
For me, I think it's our atmosphere that we created. You know, it's like we are the staff is just so welcoming, so knowledgeable. we work on this mentality where like you don't have to ask for a manager. You know, our staff has all the answers for you and everything. You know, they could answer anything, they could adjust your experience, they could guide you through the experience. And like, so we try to make sure that this felt like a second home to any diner. And hopefully that really like puts us into the neighborhood that is the Heights and everything. So everyone felt welcome, everyone feels seen, which is really nice. Our staff says that all the time, that like people just see themselves in the food, and which I'm just like, that's so wild, is because like our food to me is just like such a personal story for us, yet other people see themselves in it too. So everyone just feels at home here, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, and I think that definitely has a lot to do with our team. Obviously, finding people that care and that want to be here, because we know we do ask a lot from them. And as you know, in basis of just the style of service, and like we said, just the way we position our team. I know it's not very accustomed to the Houston, but it makes sense in our building, and it makes sense in the kind of environment and experience we're trying to create. So yeah, so everybody, we definitely make sure and put the time and effort to make sure our team's really well informed, because, and that was like a personal thing. I one of my least favorite experiences is when I go to a restaurant and whoever is running the food just puts it down and have no idea what it is. And I'm like, oh, sorry, like, what is this? Or, you know, or maybe it didn't look like what I ordered. And they're like, well, I don't know, I'll go get your server. And I'm like, oh, well, now I'm just gonna wait here. You
Right.
know? And it's always like a hiccup. And it, again, we're in a lot more controlled environment. We have a lot more to experience in our serve on our guests. So we get to cater that. And it's all from personal experiences, how we go out and dine and how we enjoy dining. And even down to, you know, the all the shareable style dishes, everything being composed. That's all, you know, the way we like to go out and enjoy food. So that's, you know, that's what we're doing to our guests. It's nothing completely different or anything. It's like, no, like I feel like it's very like a chef mentality. I just want to try everything, right? And I want to have different dishes and just kind of, I'm very much like, hey, just bring it as ready. I was like, you can even give me, you know, something sweet. I don't care. It's just very kind of cool and experience, you know, and it's something we want to create for our guests.
Yeah, I mean, I remember coming in back in, I don't know, December or January or whatever, and you had a persimmon dish on the menu with the leche de tigre, and I was like, oh, that's unusual. I haven't seen that before. And you said, well, yeah, we have a lot of vegetarians come in, and they don't eat the ceviche, so we wanted to give them like the experience of eating ceviche, the flavors of the ceviche, without fish or shellfish. So I thought, see, I just think that was so smart, and I think that's, you know, just one example of kind of what you're talking about, right? Like you see that you have a lot of vegetarians come in. It's like, okay, we'll give you some cool vegetarian dishes that appeal to you.
And that also like kind of obviously hit the mark on that, but then also that non-vegetarian guests would enjoy, you know. I feel like sometimes a lot of times in restaurants, it's like, oh, we need a vegetarian dish, and it's just that one. And it's like not that great. Obviously it's just filling a hole. But in return, like we love vegetables and we love making vegetables the focus of a dish. So why not just create something that's really good? Happens to be vegetarian.
Right. So let me shift gears on you just a little bit. You know, one of the other things you guys have been doing is you've been doing all these guest chef dinners, really drawing on the Top Chef community, which of course, Evelyn, you're a part of. So talk to me a little bit about life after Top Chef and kind of becoming part of this community of former contestants and what that's been like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's definitely overall just being part of Top Chef and experiencing that as a whole, that was life-changing. It was wild. You know, I had competed in like a cooking show before, but it was nothing like Top Chef, nor do I consider myself like a TV chef or anything. So it was just so weird, you know, all the cameras and the lights and all those things. I think, like I said, it's just a really cool experience, but then coming out of it, obviously, I think personally, it was just really amazing to experience Top Chef in my hometown. I think that was just a different kind of experience as well. And I feel like it's nothing you can really prepare for. You have no idea. You know, it's just like just living through all of that. And then really having being able to do all those, yeah, have all those connections with all these chefs. I think not just within the show, I feel like, you know, we're still keep in touch and stuff and check up on each other, which is great. But also just other chefs that were part of it. And, you know, I think right out of it, a lot of them like reached out and were like, you know, welcome. If you ever need anything, if you're in this town, if you want to come to this town or whatever. Like it was really cool that it was just so welcoming, and then that everybody was just really excited just for me to be part of it too. So it was really, really nice. And definitely with our monthly dinners, I think for us they're just really fun because we get to create food that's, you know, what we're not making every day. And then we kind of like to go a different route. We actually choose our wines first, and then from the wine notes we choose like 3 to 4 ingredients and two that ha will highlight the wine, and then from there we create our dish. So we kind of go backwards, which is really cool because it gets us to be creative, and as well as our guest chefs get to, you know, do something completely different as well. And it tends to be really fun, and honestly the feedback most of the time, or all the time really, from the chefs, it's always like, that was so much fun. I don't remember the last time I had to, you know, just pull something together from like 4 random ingredients. So it really gets everybody's creative juices going, which is really fun for us. And I think overall, obviously, we're trying to make a really cool experience and bring different chefs into the space for our guests. Because I think for our dinners, really, most of our guests are just constant regulars that we've had since like Tenfold. Like they've been coming to all our dinners, and which is really cool to see. And I've definitely seen like the evolution of all of this, and them getting to meet other chefs as well. And it's really just like a really fun time for us. We look forward to it, and we do it once a month. And like I said, it's really cool to have kind of like this different kind of pool of chefs. I think we kind of switch off. We try to bring some chefs from out of town, and then obviously pull from our local chefs because we have such amazing chefs in town. So we're always trying to go back and forth, trying to like level it out so we have a little bit of pulling both from our city and then outside chefs as well.
Yeah, I mean, Henry, I think the last time I saw you were working on, was it blood sausage? Was that what you were working on the last time I saw you at the restaurant for
Yeah,
the Joe
I was
Chan
working
dinner?
on blood sausage. Our wine guys, it was like fourth course, and they're like this course needs blood, and I'm just like, all right,
Iron,
they're like,
iron.
yeah, they're like iron rare, and I'm just like, well, I'm a fourth course, so I can't do a tartare or anything, so I was just like, and so like it's like she was saying, like it gets our creative juices flowing, and then that dish end up on our menu now, you know, a different version of it. I was like, but that sausage came out of this wine dinner and now it's part of our menu, you know.
And we've had a lot of dishes actually that we
Yeah.
get to
Well, and I
create.
just think that's so cool because it kind of ties you into, you know, there's Boudin Rouge from Louisiana, there's Morcilla, there's like it, you know, it really like it may not seem like the most obvious flavor profile for Houstonians, but at the same time, there's a lot of cultures in this town and there's a lot of people who are like, or even you know, the pig's blood cubes in Hubun Wei, right? So there's a lot of that. So to see you guys kind of playing around with those flavors, I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and we love introducing these kind of new flavors to a different audience that would never had tried it before. Even our staff has never had any kind of food like this before, and they're just like, it's always a new day, new flavors, and we're like, yep.
And even when Henry was like putting it together, once we tried it, and I was like, oh, there's really, well, one, I really like blood and iron like flavor, and Henry does not so much. But obviously he had chosen this dish, and he's like, okay, I want to play with something I'm not really that fond of, but we can, you know, make something cool out of it. And when he was putting it together and we tried it, I was like, this really tastes like Boudin. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, Henry. But our guests will connect to it. Well, they will, you know, it will spark something, because although it might look different once you eat it, you're like, oh, this is like boudin. It's like Asian boudin is what it tastes like. And it was really
And
cool
I'm like,
that, yeah, I was just like, my God, I'm like, this one, I enjoyed it very much, even though when I first had it, I was just like, I don't really taste the blood, Henry. But then, we adjusted a little bit here and there, and then we went with this kind of different flavor and texture. But I was just like, you know what, our guests, if we describe it as pork butt sausage, but our server lets them know that there's rice and everything, and it's very on par to Boudin, like people really enjoy it. And we do, like, it's new, obviously, on our menu, but it people are really enjoying it. And I think it's because of that. I'm like, see, we hit a little chord there.
Yeah, and then I know you've got one coming up soon with Mark Clayton and Thomas Billy, who were both James Beard Award semifinalists for Best Chef Texas. You guys were James Beard Award semifinalists for Best New Restaurant. Unfortunately, did not move on to the finals in that category. But talk to me about getting this national attention and kind of starting to get in the mix for things like for that award, and hopefully a Food and Wine Best New Chef coming your way, hopefully, and that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions, It's like we never sought out for this like worldwide recognition, national recognition, even local recognition. We try to put our best foot forward every day. We're trying to put our best experience and and share it with the world. And it's extremely fucking, I mean, it's extremely nice to get that. Sorry, I was like, I'm really excited. I'm sorry. It's extremely nice to get that kind of recognition. I was like, I'm not like, even I shed a tear, which is like so unreal.
He has emotions. He just has a very serious demeanor. I mean, I think overall, I think it was just really cool to be put on that list. I mean, honestly, we were like, man, we're not even in our, in the Texas category. We're in national category. Like, that was wild to us. And also being just so new, right? Like, I'm like, my God, we just turned a year. Like, it's crazy to know that, but also to know that we're getting this recognition now, and we know that we could do so much better. So we're constantly trying to improve and improve not only the food but the experience. So I think overall, it's really cool. It's definitely a pat on the shoulder. We're in the right path, and I think it's always nice to get that and to experience it for sure.
Well, yeah, you won't be eligible for Best New Restaurant in 2025. So you got to keep going, because the only path left is Best Chef Texas. You got to keep moving. So you can't
I think
slow
ours. Yeah, I think our staff was a lot more sad than we were, and we were trying to like console all of them. I was like, it's
down.
us. I was like, we all lost. I was like, it's fine though.
It's
I was like, we
all
got to move
good.
on.
It's an honor to be nominated. That's what you have to tell them.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
And then this is purely for me. I never got to go to your I didn't make it to your brunch service when you ran it for a little while last year. I understand brunch is coming back.
So I was like
For one
a for
day.
what yeah
Oh, okay.
for special occasions, like Mother's Day brunch.
Yeah, we'll do a Mother's Day brunch, we'll do a Father's Day brunch, but just for one night only.
Was it just too much of a drain on the staff? Is that why you gave it up?
Part of that, I was like, I think every restaurant, we're all just short-staffed, and so our team was willing to do the doubles, but it was just playing a huge toll on all of them. I was like, and so we're just like, this is just unrealistic for all of us, it was unfair for them. I was like, even though our brunch was picking up and everything, I was like, we're stressing our staff out too much. That it was just not to our liking, to our favor, I was like, and so we're just like, we need to call it a quits and like refigure out a different kind of scenario for us.
All right. And then, Evelyn, you mentioned this is your first restaurant. You have ideas about future concepts that you guys would like to do. I'm obviously not going to try to pin you down too hard on that, but like, where are you in that process? Like, do you think like, oh, if we're good in it, when we hit the 2-year spot, we'll start looking for a second space, or like, How would you like to see that evolve?
I
I don't
mean,
think we
we're,
ever stop looking.
yeah, I'm like, I think we're always vaguely looking at locations.
Because I was like, it took us so long to find this one. We're
Yeah.
like, I don't know, we never honestly stopped looking. And there are certain places that piqued our interest, and we've talked and dived into it. So we'll see of what's to come.
Is there like a certain neighborhood that's like kind of top of your list, like where you'd really like to be?
I mean, we enjoy
All
the
right, fair
and the
enough. All
heights
right.
enjoy, yeah.
And I mean, hope for the heights enjoys our concepts as
Well, I won't push too much harder on that.
well.
I do have to say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you would like to discuss?
No, I mean, I think overall we just have a lot of cool things coming up, not just wine dinners. We have events. I know like event season is upon us here in Houston too, right before it gets too hot. And then it comes back around again for fall. So overall, I mean, we're just excited to keep being able to cook for our community and be able to put out cool events, have different chefs come into town. You know, I think we're always on the move and trying to create cool things for our guests to just keep coming back and new ones to give us a try. But yeah, we think we just, you know, I feel like what like the next 3 months have been planned out, so we have a lot of things in store, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, like you said, our next wine dinner is on the 29th and it's available on OpenTable. And then you could check out our social media and everything to see all our future events that are coming up.
Well, before I let you go, Henry, you and I have to play the lightning round since Evelyn had to do it the first time she was
Oh
on.
yes, you have
But
fun with
okay.
that. Five easy questions, five short answers. Just say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Henry Liu, what is your favorite ingredient?
Chilies.
What is the first band you ever saw in concert?
Oh man. I think it was Nickelback.
What is your fast food guilty pleasure? It has to come from a restaurant with a drive.
Oh, it's a bunch. It's a four-piece McNugget, a McFlurry, a McDouble, and then a McChicken spicy. And yes, I get it all at once.
No, I
I
understand. No, I understood that was a complete order. That's
was
a
like,
great
no.
answer.
I was like, that could have been a
One
more perfect question.
do you have a favorite athlete? I usually ask people for their favorite Houston athlete, but you're still a little bit new in
He's
town. Do you have
new.
a
He's new.
favorite athlete from your New York days?
I just
Sports, Henry.
sports is
Sports.
I was like, sports has never been my thing.
That's okay. Not every
Serena Williams, I
the
guess a lot of 10 players and stuff like that.
Serena Williams. There you
And then finally, Henry, what is the new Houston restaurant you haven't been to yet that you are dying to try?
go. I actually really want to check out Basso, which like they're closed on Monday and Tuesday, and then we're closed on Tuesday. So I'm just like, well, we're never gonna go. But Basso.
Well, what's funny is when those guys were on a few weeks ago, they said they wanted to go to June. So, I feel like you've got to work that out somehow. There's like
I
some there's
know.
certainly some sort of like 19th Street to 20th Street Express that
I
has to
know, they're
happen.
right down the
For real, I know. And that
street.
list is long, honestly. There's so many restaurants
Yeah.
we want to try out.
All right. Well, give us the website and the social media for June.
Yeah, so June's website is junebyken.com. On Instagram, we're also June by Ken. And on Facebook too, June by Ken.
All right. Well, thank you both very much. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.